comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us for the very, very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a good habit to get into, really good habit to get into. Well, just a quick update before we get into our show tonight, or as we get into the show. You are aware of the fact that I've been having some issues with the audio and have been working on it, and I'm very hopeful that what you're hearing tonight is much better quality than the past few nights. Equipment is strange stuff. It just all of a sudden decides it's not going to work. And you don't know why. It's just not going to work. Well, we've installed a new sound card. That was yesterday. Today, I reinstalled all the sound drivers in all the computers. And then this was interesting. This was really weird. You notice that during the show, when someone calls in, you don't hear a telephone ring. And the reason you don't hear a telephone ring is because instead of a ringer, I have a little light that blinks, that flashes. And used it last night. Everything worked fine. Today, as we were wrapping up all of the reinstallation of everything, it decided it's not going to work anymore. You've seen them. You can get them at Radio Shack or Best Buy or Circuit City. It's just a little thing like this with a light, and this little light flashes. And so it just decided it wasn't going to work. And it was way too late for me to go to the store and buy another one. So what we've done is I've hooked up something that will flash on the screen over here on the computer and when you call, and we'll know you're calling. But it's been a very busy, very involved process, and I think we've got it whipped. I'm pretty sure we do, and I'm certainly hopeful that we do. Now, my guest tonight is Eric Taber. Eric has been responsible for quite a number of the guests that we've had on the show. He talks to a lot of people and meets a lot of people, and he's just really, really been a real special asset and help for the show. But we've also had Eric on as a guest because Eric is a very accomplished UFO investigator. He's been involved in some really major UFO cases and has a real knack for digging up the fine detail and getting that brought forward, a fine detail that a lot of other investigators overlook or just don't even think to ask about. And it, when the fine detail is added, it really does make things a lot more understandable. Well, he's going to join us tonight to talk about the Stephenville UFO case. And not just the Stephenville UFO case, but the radar report, the analysis report of the radar readings, and what that tells us. So we'll be back with Eric Taber on the other side of this break. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Show unique in the galaxy.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Eric Tabor. Pardon me while I cough. Eric Tabor, as I said, is a very fine, an excellent UFO investigator, and he's brought us a lot of really important information in the past. And in addition to that, he has not only brought us important information, but he's told us about important cases that perhaps we would not have heard about if we were just relying upon what we see in the media. And, Eric, it's good to have you back with us.
While I cough.
Hey, Kevin, Eric Tabor.
Eric, you're going to have to turn off your radio in the background. We can hear me on delay back there. So if you'll turn off your radio, we'll try it again. All right. We'll give it another shot here in just a moment. All right. Now, the Stephenville UFO incident is probably one of the most significant, and also it is probably the, not just one of the most significant, probably one of the best documented cases in modern UFO history. There were just tons of witnesses, and some of them are really what you would call qualified, trained observers. And Eric has talked to most of those, and he's dug into the information as well about this analysis of the radar reports. So let's give it another try. Let's see if we can pick up Eric. Now, Eric, are you with me?
I'm with you, Kevin. Are you picking up the delay still?
Yes.
And some of them are...
Okay, that's odd because I can hear you delaying in my phone. So something is up here. I do not have your show on my computer.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And he's dug into the...
Well, that is strange. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a call, and we're just going to disconnect from this, and I'm going to give you a call, and we will try to do this again.
We can pick up Eric.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, well, now, I'll tell you something. I don't think that there's anything that I did today that has anything at all to do with that situation. I do not believe that there was anything to do with the telephones. Today. Yesterday, yes, but They worked last night, didn't they? We may have to have Eric. I may have to go another route to try and get Eric, but we'll see. All right. Okay, Eric. You know, I'm still picking that up. Are you hearing a delay as well?
Yes, I am hearing you. A slight delay.
Today. Yesterday.
And that's all in the telephone, right?
Yes.
Now that is just strange. All right, tell you what, let's try this. All right. Now we'll see if that helps anything out there.
We'll see, all right.
Okay.
No, that didn't help it out. Well, folks, it's live radio and live internet TV, and so we'll do the best we can with this. Eric, if you will.
Yes, I'll tell you what, Kevin, I could be to another phone in about 5 minutes flat.
And that's all in the telephone, right?
Okay, this is not going to work. I think we're having some assistance. And I'm not sure that it's welcomed assistance, but I think we're getting some assistance here this evening. Tell you what, Eric, do this. Go to another telephone, call me so that I can get the number, and then we'll try to make contact with you. If this doesn't work, folks, we're going to go to open line and try just to do something else. I don't know. This is just weird. So, Eric, go to another telephone and give me a call. All right. what can I say? Can you folks hear that echo? Send me an email and let me know if you were hearing that echo. The echo was so tremendous that there was just no way for Eric and I to communicate. And so maybe this will make things a lot better for us if we just use a different telephone. And now, see, the audio is dropping tremendously. There we go. We'll see if that's any better. Okay, there we go. Ah, the joys of flying it without the hydraulics. It's like flying a 747 without the hydraulics, I'll tell you, when things go drastically wrong. But again, I don't know. That is a total mystery to me. I don't know how we were getting all of that all of that echo. And were you hearing it? Were you hearing the echo? Send me an email. And let me know if you were hearing that echo. All right, let me give it another try, and let's see what happens here. Look, this is important information. I want you to get this information. All right, let's see if we get Eric back on the telephone here. All right, are you with me, Eric?
No, Eric left.
Eric left. Okay, all right. Sorry about that. All right, we'll give it just a few minutes here, and then what we will do is we will go to open line. This is important information. Eric has taken this analysis of the Stephenville UFO, the radar tracings. Now, what happened was through Freedom of Information Act, the radar data was obtained, and this radar data was then analyzed by experts. And when it was analyzed by experts, they determined some things about this Stephenville UFO. Some really strange things about this Stephenville UFO. And, you know, by taking a look at this data, the experts have made some conclusions about it. Well, Eric has dug into that information, and we're very hopeful that he'll be able to share it with us this evening. But if he's not, we will get him back on the show and have him share it with us at a future date. And then we'll just go to open line. So I'll tell you what let's do right now. Those of you who were listening when we had Eric on, if you will, one or two of you, just give me a phone call at our studio line, and let me get that up on the screen for you. And just let me know if you were hearing that echo. I mean, it was just tremendous. I was not able to function. I couldn't hear Eric. And, you know, we can't, you can't do radio that way. So the telephone number to call me at is 602. Well, okay, we've got a call coming in, so let's just go to a call. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and
where are you calling from?
Hi there, Kevin. Tony here.
Yeah, Tony.
Yep, we heard it. I heard it anyway.
What do you think causes that?
Oh man, something like that. I have no idea.
Never heard that before. Never had that before.
That is really strange.
Yeah, and
that's the strangest thing I think I've ever heard.
Well, it was just growing and growing and growing, and you know, there was no way to communicate.
I don't understand how that could happen.
Well, maybe somebody doesn't want that information out on the radio here tonight.
That's a good guess.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, man. Let me check with this other caller and see what they got.
Take care, Kevin.
All right, thanks.
All right, let's see. Let's go to this call right here. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Marlene.
Hello?
Hello, Marlene, Massachusetts.
We cannot hear you. You'll have to speak up.
Marlene from Massachusetts.
Marlene, you sound like you're a billion miles away. We can barely hear you.
Sorry.
That's all right. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, you know what we do for first-time callers? We applause. All right, let's see. That's not applause. Let's get some applause up here. There we go. All right.
I was just told about your show, and I was very interested in catching it.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm very glad that you tuned in, and we're hopeful we'll get Eric Tabor back up online.
Yeah, you know, on my line, all I got was the audio went higher and then lower.
But it didn't echo.
No echo.
How strange.
You were just coming in and out.
Well, the audio just took another jump, and we can hear you better now. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just very, very strange. I want to thank you for the call, though. And you're in what part of the country?
Massachusetts. 50 miles from Boston.
Well, that is a beautiful part of the country, for sure.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for the call.
And I'm looking forward to your program tonight.
I am, too, if we're ever able to get it off of the ground and into the air here.
If you do nothing but calls, maybe I'll give you a call back.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let's see. Let's go to this call. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky again.
Yeah.
Just want to let you know, yeah, I was hearing that Heterodyne effect from Eric also. So,
what do you think causes that?
I really don't know. It could have been something in his phone because you notice the other callers calling in is not having that effect.
Yeah. It could be something to do with his telephone. And you're right. But now, I don't know because we're on a whole different line. We're in a different computer, you and I, than I was on with Eric.
Yeah, but you heard that when you called back that the lady said that he had left. Maybe he's gone to another phone somewhere.
Yeah. Quite mysterious. Well, quite mysterious.
Looking forward to hearing Eric speak tonight. Enjoyed last night's show, by the way.
Well, thank you.
And we'll be listening. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks. I'll go ahead and take your calls. We want to know, you know, what you experienced and what you heard. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from
where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Mark from iRadio LA, and I think I have a suggestion for you on the audio problem. But I'll talk to you during one of the breaks to explain it.
Okay. All right. Hang on just a second here. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hello, caller.
All right. You still with me?
Yeah, I'm still with you there.
All right. I have no idea who that was. I've looked at everything here. I haven't... changed any of the audio settings here, and it was only, and in fact, I used that telephone line to talk with him before the show. It was only when we went on that.
Okay, it sounds like you might have gone to the sound card settings and turned the audio through, so the audio goes in but not back out for your end.
Ah, I see. Well, since I put a new sound... Well, no, the new sound card's in the other computer. So this is the computer that was causing... If it was a computer causing it, the computer that was causing it was the one that we've been broadcasting with and haven't changed.
Okay, is this that same phone line that we use here as well?
No, I use Magic Jack.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah. What we do here at our end is we have it coming back, the output coming to the mixer, and obviously the microphone going back in, but you have to go into the sound card and turn off your volume so we don't hear you coming through Magic Jack, just the person, and then your audio comes just over the microphone.
Well, that happens. The Magic Jack actually goes into a digital hybrid that splits them and then into the mixer, and from the mixer back out to the broadcast.
Okay.
So,
all right, yeah, this is one of those complicated things.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can give you a call tomorrow during the daytime if you'd like, and we can...
we'll work on it.
Well.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Ken, we'll talk to you later.
You bet you.
All right, one of our affiliate stations. Yeah, I don't know that it really makes a lot of sense that, maybe it does, that we would need to change anything in the settings in the computer that phone call was being handled on, because that computer, I haven't done any changes in that computer. Okay, it's this computer over here that I put the new sound card in. So I don't know. Very, very strange thing indeed. All right, if Eric calls us, if he gives me a call, then we'll put him back online. We'll continue with that. If he does not, we'll go open line. And one of the things, we'll just start open line, and we'll shut it down if we need to, if Eric calls in. But one of the things that, is, if we're going open line, that I really would kind of like for us to get into is I would like to, and I really want your opinion on this, because I've gotten some email lately from a couple of people who have been guests on the show. And one person, two people from the audience. And the gist of the email, I talk about this sometimes, they want me to do tight censorship of who comes on the show. Well, of course, they're presupposing that I don't have limits and parameters and boundaries which I do. You can't come on this show if I know that you're going to come on this show and tell lies. So if you have a history of lying, then and you know you've been caught in lies. If that's the case, I'm not going to bring you on the show. You've been on other shows and you have lied and got caught lying on the air. Then you're not coming on the show. What they say is that I have a responsibility to present only the truth. Now, I don't see it that way. I have a responsibility to bring you the people that are making the waves, and let's discuss what they're saying and ask questions about what they're saying, and then we can decide for ourselves if it's true. I don't think that I sit in the I don't sit in the judge's chair and decide for you what is truth. But I'd like to know what you think about that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, Chris.
Hey, Kevin. Kind of goes hand in hand with what you're talking about and kind of doesn't, so hopefully you bear with me. I just want to make a quick comment here.
All right. Can you hang on till after the break?
Yeah, not a problem.
All right, if you'll hang on till after the break, I'll bring you right up after the break.
Not a problem.
All right, we'll be back right after this, folks. right. We are back, and
we've got Chris holding on the line. Eric has been able to get it to another phone. There is no echo on it. Chris, we're going to take your call, and then we'll go to Eric. And you still with me, Chris?
I am indeed, sir.
All right. It's yours. Go for it.
Alrighty. Real quick, I just want to let everybody out there know that can hear you tonight. I just got done reading your book about a week ago, and it was outstanding, sir. And I recommend it to everybody out there. If you listen to Kevin's show, you've got to get this book. And just like he was talking about, he doesn't make judgments. It's not opinionated. This is what it is. And I have always appreciated that about your show, and I do not think that you will let us make our own judgments and let us make our own calls on what we're the information that we're given. You've never forced anybody's opinion, or even your own for that matter, and I definitely appreciate that, sir.
Well, you certainly are welcome, and I thank you for the good words about my book. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, thank you.
Have a good one, sir.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, we're going to bring Eric on the line, and we're still a little tenuous, but I think I've got you now, Eric. And you raced at high speed over to someone else's house, and you're calling me from their phone, and it doesn't seem to have any interference, Eric.
Yeah, Kevin, I just want to apologize for that. I wasn't expecting that. I'm sure you weren't either, and I've made it somewhere in a quick speed, fast amount of time to where I'm okay now, so we'll go from here.
All right. Outstanding. Well, it was a little hairy start, wasn't it?
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Is that telephone, is it a one of, like, Vonage or Magic Jack or one of the phones that runs over the computer lines?
No, it isn't. The phone I was using that had the problems is a cordless, but it's a Bell South. It's a separate phone line from our DSL computer line.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Eric, you dug into this report, and it's a report, an analysis report, about the UFO in Stephenville, and it's an analysis of the radar readings. So let's just jump into it. What are we looking at here?
Okay. The FAA radar data was obtained by MUFON, which I'm sure most people are aware of is the Mutual UFO Network. They filed the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, and were able to obtain a bunch of radar data on the night in question in the skies above the Stephenville area, January 8th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the evening. Basically, it confirms that there were 10 F-16s in the area, but there was also things tracked without beacons that obviously, to the trained professional, were not military or commercial aircraft.
How many of these things were there?
In the report itself, it specifically mentions two, and it talks about the proximity of one of them to the Presidential Crawford Ranch, as well as the speed, the high speed of one of the objects over Stephenville.
All right. So go ahead and give us the meat of this thing. What's the conclusion, or where does it head? What does it tell us that we didn't know?
Well, it tracks one object without a beacon, and this object was last tracked within 10 miles of the Crawford Ranch itself. And as you've had people on your show recently have mentioned that I believe there's a 60-mile radius of restricted airspace if you're under a certain elevation, which was, well, I think it was 2,000 feet, if I'm not mistaken.
Under 5,000.
5,000, okay. It was 10 miles from the ranch itself, and then the other object in question was over the Stephenville area, and it was clocked at approximately traveling at 2,100 miles per hour. And both of these craft had no beacon. And as well, something else to note is that none of the 10 F-16s that were tracked seemed to divert from their flight paths to check these objects out. So one has to ask themselves, okay, was Was the military, did these somehow escape military radar, which I highly doubt? Or did they track these objects also, but just didn't, you know, they may have these occurrences from time to time and said, okay, we're not going to worry about them.
Or these craft may be experimental secret craft, and the F-16s may have been there simply to make sure that nobody else got near these craft.
Right, as escorts, put it like that. The logbook from the 301st Fighter Wing that they obtained was heavily blacked out. It shows a sortie of four aircraft leaving at 6 p.m. and another sortie of four aircraft leaving at 6:15 p.m. So that's within 15 minutes of each other. Both sorties returned at 7:30 and 7:45 respectively. And then the radar data also shows a 9th and 10th jet leaving Carswell, which is where the 301st Fighter Wing is based at, Carswell Air Force Base, which is a joint naval air base based out of Fort Worth, Texas, at 6:29 and returning at 8 p.m.
All right, so what conclusions can we draw from all of this?
Well, the press release that Carl Lewis put out, he said there was 10 F-16s and they were flying a training mission. I guess one can concur with that because they are tracked on the radar. But at the same time, the 9th and 10th jets that flew out, for some reason at a certain point they shut off their beacons. And nobody knows why. The thing is that with the object so close to Crawford Ranch and the object over Stephenville traveling at such a high rate of speed, the times and locations that the two objects were tracked on radar coincide with the witness's testimony, especially the one over Stephenville. They definitely come to that conclusion.
So those who have done the analysis on this radar data have concluded that the radar data shows a UFO, is that right?
Well, an aircraft without a transponder and traveling at that high rate of speed, and the object was traveling a southeast direct course to the Crawford Ranch. Last time it was seen was 8 o'clock and continued on the path and was only 10 miles away. Military jets reacted to this unknown aircraft that was without a responder and that was headed directly toward the White House. There was no indication that military...
Well, not the White House.
The Western White House.
Yeah. You know, all right, now, it's 10 miles away, and it was continuing on that path. Does the radar data stop there? Is that it? Why don't we know where it went after that?
The slot of time that was filed for the Freedom of Information Act request, I guess, was from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. So 8 p.m. is the cutoff time. Why they didn't go for until 10 o'clock, I don't know. But it says their first primary conclusion is that there was definitely a real physical object that appeared and was witnessed on January 8th in Dublin, Stephenville area. What makes this event unique is there were multiple witnesses at different locations and the sightings occurred over a 3-hour period of time. Additionally, radar data identifies unknown aircraft in the sky at the same time as many of the witnesses' sightings. As to what the witnesses saw, it is difficult to determine. It was not any known aircraft. The enormous size of the object, its complete silence, and its ability to travel at high rates of speed and to also remain stationary or travel at slow speeds is not explained by any known aircraft. The smallest size calculated from the witness description was 524 feet, and most of the calculations based on approximate distance of the object and witness descriptions of the degrees of sky cover the object indicated an object closer to 1,000 feet in size. Twice radar picked up an unknown object flying at 1,900 to 2,100 miles per hour.
All right, now, when we talk about radar, we're talking about the civilian radar system. We're talking about the FAA, right?
Right.
Is the military radar subject to Freedom of Information Act?
It's a good question. I believe it is, but I believe that they keep that highly restricted. I actually called and asked for that information, and they said, well, that's classified. We can't share that with you. So, they keep that pretty close to the vest.
The reason I ask, you know, you hooked us up with John Callahan, and he was on the show. I don't know if you heard the show, but he described the new system that they're operating with now. This new system, if you don't have a transponder that's squawking friend or foe and squawking an identifier, then all that shows up on radar, if anything, will look like a period at the end of a sentence, just a white dot. And that's all that they will see, that there is something there, and they don't know who it is or what it is or how big it is or how small it is. And he explained something that I never would have imagined that anybody would have dreamed up. If an object is really large, the computer system assumes that it's weather.
Mm-hmm.
And so it dumps that information over into the weather information as a weather anomaly and doesn't put it on the air traffic controller's screen.
Now, that seems a little odd to me.
Yeah, and I said, wait a minute, yeah, John, you mean that our FAA system has been specifically designed to not show a UFO? And he said, that's right.
Well, perhaps the reason for that is to let the military radar handle it, which is not really subject to Freedom of Information Act requests, and if it is, it's, you know, 99.999% of the time denied.
Yeah, I think, but you know, just imagine now a 1,000-foot long UFO that is making an approach on a field, and you've got air traffic coming in, and the air traffic controller is guiding them to a landing, and may, this is just theoretical, it's just hypothetical, but he could be actually guiding them right into a collision with this UFO that he can't see on his screen.
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense at all.
It doesn't. Now, I don't know if these F-16s are guided by FAA radar specialist controllers or military.
No, they'll be controlled by the military. However, they will show up on the FAA screens because they have a squawk box. They have a transponder.
Right.
And so, you know, it shows what who they are, what kind of aircraft it is, and so forth. That shows up on the FAA controller screen. But a craft that does not have a transponder will only, if it shows up at all, it'll only show up as a tiny white dot on the controller screen. And if it's massive, the fact that there was a massive event is over in the weather data. And it's listed as a weather anomaly.
Right. It says the third conclusion is that military aircraft and traffic in the area was unusually heavy, and twice the military aircraft strayed out of their standard military training routes and into civilian airspace.
Okay, we have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll pick up right there. And I've got several questions to ask you about this stuff. But it's good we finally got a connection, that we're not being bombarded with the ever-growing echo. We'll be back right after this. Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet?
No?
Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. Welcome back. This is the Kevin Smith Show. I am the Kevin Smith, and we're talking with Eric Taber, and we're talking about this report that was put together by MUFON, and it's an analysis of the radar data of the Stephenville event. You know, Eric, when we had John Callahan on, he was, of course, talking about a situation that he had dealt with when he was in the FAA, where they had radar data from, I think he said, seven different radar stations tracking a UFO that was flying along with a Japan Airlines plane for 31 minutes. And this was the first time that they had so much data on a UFO event. But now Stephenville has come along, and there is radar data for it as well. Now, you were saying that these F-16s strayed into civilian airspace. Now, that does happen sometimes, but it doesn't happen often.
Sure. I wouldn't imagine it would. The way they flew was very in a huge circle. Some of these jets actually left from Oklahoma and flew south. Flew south, made a west turn, made an east turn, and then flew over Comanche, Dublin, and Stephenville, Texas on the way to Carswell Air Force Base. And
now, I think we should point out for people, if you're coming from Oklahoma, you have to fly past Carswell Air Force Base to get to Dublin and Stephenville. You have to, Dublin and Stephenville, you would come to Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth geographically. You would come to it before you would get to Stephenville or Dublin, Texas.
Correct.
So if they flew from Oklahoma and then they flew south towards where? Towards Waco?
Comanche.
Comanche?
And Stephenville. They flew to the west of those three towns and then made a beeline east over the towns on their way to Carswell Air Force Base.
Well, see, that coincides with what Steve Allen told us. Steve Allen told us that what he saw was, you know, there was the UFO was out there, and that it moved from the east towards the west, and then after a little while it came back, moving back towards the east-southeast, and then here came the military jets behind it.
Exactly. And during when this first incident first made news, their explanations were, well, it could have been odd reflections coming off the jets is what they saw. Now, how is it that light reflects like that at nighttime, first of all? And second of all, how can a light refraction or reflection look as though it's a mile wide in a solid white rectangle, as Stephen Allen described? I just don't get that.
Well, I don't know. Did you hear me report last night that I had done remote viewing, though, on the upcoming full contact with aliens? And the way this is going to work is when they finally do get here, and you know, we've got these mile-wide craft that are just hovering above the cities, the very first contact will go like this. One of those ships will open, and a leader will come out, and there'll be a whole bunch of others behind him, and he's going to say, in our language, "Hi,
We're military flares. Take us to your leader.
They're going to have to. That's what the military would have us believe. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so, you know, this intrigues me. It really does. That they flew from Oklahoma. They were apparently headed to Carswell. Carswell Air Force Base is in Fort Worth. That's where they were headed, but they flew past that to come to the Stephenville area, made a circle around Stephenville, and came back straight back across the city.
Exactly. Well, technically, from the area in Oklahoma is called Lawton, L-A-W-T-O-N, Oklahoma. They should have made a direct diagonal path, which would be south, southeastern course, right, and they would hit Carswell. Instead, they move south. Two jets, this is, at 7:28 p.m., south, west, east again, west again, south, and then they fly over Comanche, Dublin, and Stephenville on a direct course to Carswell. Then they depart. Actually, they depart Carswell first at 6:29. Then they fly up to Lawton, Oklahoma. Then they depart Lawton, Oklahoma, and do that crazy course over the three cities and back to Carswell at 8 p.m. So they leave Carswell at 6:29 and arrive back at 8 p.m.
And what kind of explanation have you been able to get for that?
None whatsoever. I've tried to call Carl Lewis, and so is a guy by the name of Billy Cox, who's a blog writer for the Herald Tribune, based out of, I believe, St. Petersburg, Florida. And he actually got a hold of Carl and said, have you read this MUFON report with the FAA recently obtained FAA radar data? And he said, no. But if you send it to me, I'll send it to my higher-ups for them to look at, and I'll get back to you. Well, it's been about a week and a half, and he says now he's not even answering his phone calls or returning his phone calls.
So he was going to give it to his higher-ups. He was going to send it upline.
Higher-ups.
And that didn't work out too well for him, I guess. All right, I've got the same map that we used whenever we had Steve Allen on. And this map shows Stephenville, it shows the Bush Ranch, and it shows the 60-mile circle around the ranch that is restricted airspace when the president is there. Now, for those who are watching on our Internet TV feed, Internet TV channel, here's the deal. The deal is I'm going to draw an arrow, and it'll be in the general direction of Fort Worth. Well, that's just not going to be a big enough arrow. Let's try it this way. All right, there we go. I'm not a very good artist here. Let's try it this way. All right, here we go. Fort Worth is basically that direction. All right. And so what you're describing, these jets flew south out of Oklahoma.
They started out of Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
They depart at 6:29, and they head on a pretty due northwestern direction to Lawton, Oklahoma.
Okay. And then they come from Lawton back down to Comanche. Did they do a loop around the Bush Ranch?
Does not show that on this diagram, no.
Okay. So they're coming out of Lawton, and they're headed back to the south-southwest. They do a loop around Stephenville, come back across Stephenville, and head where?
Right back to Carswell Air Force Base at 8 p.m.
Okay.
That's when they arrive. And now, let me point out one thing. The object that was near the Crawford Ranch was tracked, sometimes moving at speeds less than 60 miles per hour, hovering
And then quickly accelerating to 532 miles per hour in 30 seconds, and then slowing back down to 49 miles per hour in only 10 seconds.
There's nothing except a helicopter that can be in the air at 49 miles per hour.
Right, right.
You know, the smallest airplanes, like the little Cessna two-seaters, okay, you got to be going 70 miles an hour ground speed to get off the ground.
Exactly. Now, I don't know about, I'm not too technically proficient on helicopters, but to go from 532 miles per hour to 49 miles per hour in 10 seconds flat, that, I don't know if a helicopter can even go that fast, can it?
No, helicopters cannot. They can't get anywhere near that 500 and whatever miles per hour.
I didn't think so.
No. Not even the Apache helicopters fly that fast.
And unfortunately, this was last tracked at 8 p.m., 10 miles from the ranch. So, like I say, after 8 p.m., we don't know if it went over the ranch or whatever, veered away. No indication that any of the jets reacted to this unknown. And that's what I find really odd. If these jets were there for escorting...
They showed no indication that they had observed it, huh?
No indication that they reacted to this unknown object.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, and we'll open up the telephone lines for you if you have questions or comments about this radar data, about the Stephenville UFO incident. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
but you turn me away. Right now's about the time I think that I'm gonna say, if you leave here, please believe, dear, it's the last time, so make up your mind now. I'm tired of all your posturing, tired, oh yes, it's bringing me down. I've heard it all before when you're calling me.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
We are back, and the telephone line is open if you have a question or a comment for Eric. The telephone number is 602-539-3316. I find it most intriguing that you said they were not responding. They gave no indication that they were responding in any way to this UFO.
Sure. I don't know what you think right away. I think, you know, it sounds funny because if there's that heavy of F-16 traffic in the area and an object of that traveling at those odd speeds, which doesn't seem to be an aircraft that I know of or a helicopter that I know of, is 10 miles from the Crawford Ranch area, you'd think that they would divert one of those 10 F-16s to go check it out. Would you think that?
Yeah, but now let me ask you this. With this radar data, can we tell, were the F-16s in the air and in the area at the same time as this UFO?
That is a good question, and I don't believe it specifically states that in detail in the report. I believe if none of the 10 aircraft were in the air at the time that this object was tracked, I think they would have noted that. So I tend to believe that there was at least one of the F-16s in the air at the time, because this was at the object was last tracked at 8 p.m. 10 miles from the ranch. So from 6:29 p.m. to 8 p.m. there was at least one F-16 in the air.
Yeah, in the air, but now where? In the area, in the same area as the UFO?
It shows that they returned, the ninth and 10th jet returned to Carswell Air Force Base at 8 p.m. Now, I believe Fort Worth is a pretty good distance from the Crawford Ranch. I don't know the exact mileage. I'm trying to figure out okay. And besides the 9th and 10th jet returning at 8 p.m., the other jets returned at 7:30 and 7:45. And that's the first batch of F-16s. And then the second batch, it returns at 7:27 p.m. So I guess technically, but you got to consider, if that was 10 miles from the Crawford Ranch at 8 p.m., you know, it probably was still close to the ranch at, say, 7:30 when these objects were. If they returned, the two jets returned at 8 p.m. at Carswell, they were probably in the vicinity of Dublin and Stephenville around 7:30, I would imagine, which is a lot closer to the ranch than Carswell itself is.
Yeah, I think Stephenville is probably, I think it's about 50 or 60 miles away from the ranch. Now, the reason I asked is if these things were in the air, I'm talking about the UFOs, they're in the air, they're 1,000 feet across, or at the smallest estimate, 500 feet across, that's still big. If they are visible to people all over the Stephenville area, you would think if there were jets in the air, in the area, they would also have seen them. Now, there was at one time policy that they were, both the United States and the former Soviet Union had a policy to try and shoot these things down.
Correct.
Both the United States and the Soviet Union gave that policy up, and they don't try to shoot them down. But I wonder if what they were doing was getting gun camera footage of this thing.
Yeah, I would ask that question specifically about the one that Steve Allen witnessed. Did he tell you how soon after the object for the second time left that the F-16 came by?
Two F-16s chasing it. He said, you know, the UFO went over, and then here came the F-16s. He could hear them as the UFO was approaching and went over. He could hear the jets. And then after the UFO went over, and I presume was out of sight, he said, here came the two F-16s right along the same track behind it, but not able to catch up with it.
Sure, that sounds like a pursuit to me. I'm sure if they got footage, they're not going to release it. They'll leave that up to speculation for people like you and I, unfortunately.
Yeah, but there's, of course, fortunately, ground footage taken from people by people on the ground who saw this bizarre object. One of the things, you know, about this one that's pretty neat is it apparently had the ability to morph into different shapes, and apparently did so in full view of the witnesses.
Yeah, different witnesses do describe different looking objects, that's for sure. You got the Quran video, which was the colored looking, almost like hieroglyphic, different changing colored line segments. What Steve Allen described. You've got, if any of your listeners are interested to go to YouTube, if they type in Stephenville and then Beam, B-E-A-M-E, you'll see a video clip from one of the History Channel UFO Hunter shows where a woman's deer cam was set up, and I believe it was around 2 a.m. that caught the shows a deer standing there, and it looks up and it gets startled and runs off, and about 2 split seconds later, that truncated beam of light turns on. And it's thinner at the top, wider at the bottom. It does not look to completely, you know, come down to touch the ground. And it's just on. It flicks on like a flashlight. So that's really odd footage. I suggest if you want to see something really shocking looking, to check that out on YouTube.
Where do we go from here with this Stephenville radar analysis? I mean, is there enough information here that it should pressure someone to come out and talk about it?
I've called everybody from, what's his name? Chut Edwards is his name. He was a prospect for VP. I won't get into politics, but I tried contacting him because he's the governor in the county that the district of the ranch is in. I tried to question his assistance, and they said that they would get back to me, and they never did.
Now, you mean he's the congressman?
The representative, correct, for that.
Yep.
The representative.
Yep, so he's the congressman. They didn't respond. They didn't even send you a letter back, a form letter that says, thank you for writing, Congressman Chet Edwards. He appreciates your views, and don't write us again.
No, nothing. I get that a lot, actually. I actually wrote my representative here in Georgia, and I received a letter back, and I found it quite sarcastic regarding the UFO-ET issue. I asked him to look into it. He said, well, if discussion of aliens ever comes up on the floor, I'll be sure to speak up on it. And I thought that was a really short, lame response. Because I'm asking him to take initiative, not to wait for it to come up. And I think that nobody wants to take the initiative to look into it. That's the problem. Everybody's waiting. You know, they get. I'm sure right now they're getting so many requests. Every branch of the military and government, I would imagine, that they're probably like, what are we going to do? But nobody wants to take the initiative to look like a kook. to say, okay, we need to set up at least another hearing for this issue, have all these witnesses, most of which have credentials like the Disclosure Project witnesses, testify as to what they've seen. I mean, I wrote Paul Webb, emailed him the other day, and he holds Nick Pope's job now, and that has to do with the MOD, public affairs branch that deals with UFOs and the public. And I keep sending him these emails, you know, what does the MOD think of Jim Peniston's testimony that he walked up and touched the craft? I gave him the details, and he writes back saying, all he says is this incident took place over 20 years ago, and the MOD has no interest in investigating it any further. No details of what they investigated or what they found out. And they just think that we're just going to just be fine with that. It's ridiculous.
And this from a government that had said, we're going to put all our stuff up for public review.
Sure, they make it seem like that. They make it seem like that. They think if they broadcast it as that, then the majority of people will say, okay, this is all they've got. But it's mind-boggling.
All right. Now, Jim Peniston, I mean, this is significant testimony because Jim Peniston is saying that he walked up and touched this UFO. And how many people are out there testifying that they've actually touched one? Not too many.
Sure, exactly. And he even said on your show that, you know, there was many other people on the base that observed the craft, I believe, either, you know, coming in or leaving or both. So for them to say that there's no evidence that they found compelling to come to any conclusion or theory or look into this any further is just hogwash, I think, you know. I just kind of, you know, smirk and I just give up because if they want to format a public response, which is what they do, and the U.S. Air Force does it, they'll say, we stopped Terminated Project Blue Book, we don't investigate UFOs anymore. Well, that's a pretty small, bold, blanket statement that just isn't good enough, in my opinion.
Have you ever heard of a philosophy called positive relativism?
No, I was thinking you were going to say keep it short and simple.
No. Positive relativism is where you keep all of the symbols of a society, you keep the symbols, but you redefine them. Okay? So, for instance, you would keep the American flag as a symbol, but you redefine what that means. It no longer will mean individuals pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps and making something of themselves and personal responsibility. And no, it's going to mean something else. So we still wave the flag, but we talk about something else. Okay, you see how that works?
Sure.
Okay, positive relativism is exactly what has taken place with the UFO subject. Because if you ask about UFOs, they don't use that term anymore. So they're not investigating UFOs. Even though they know exactly what you're talking about, that isn't what they investigate. They investigate fast walkers. They investigate slow walkers. They investigate unidentified aerial phenomena.
Uncorrelated targets, sure.
Yeah. So it's positive relativism. They still have the symbols, those things that are flying up there. They still have those. Only we don't call them UFOs anymore, so we're not investigating UFOs. It's kind of like when the FAA goes on television and says, well, the best thing that we can figure is maybe they saw some type of a weather anomaly. Well, you see, that's true from the FAA point of view. They're telling you the absolute truth because it got dumped into the weather side of their computer data and was shown to be a weather anomaly on purpose. And so they can be talking about that object even if that person talking saw that object with his or her own eyes and with a straight face tell you it was a weather anomaly because that's what it was in their computer.
sir. Another problem I see is that the blurriness between our own top secret aircraft, which need to be kept secret, and UFOs. And the reason I say that is they've given us so much BS as far as UFOs go, and whenever there's a UFO sighting that might truly be one of our own secret aircraft, it's just so hard to tell the difference because they don't tell you, well, that was one of our TS aircraft, or, well, that was not one of our TS aircraft, and we don't know what it was. They just tell you, we don't investigate the phenomenon anymore. So you get nothing, you know, no kind of indication, ever. And the fact that they're not in the least bit open with the public, they've got to understand that that's just going to make the public want to find out more. It's like keeping Area 51 a secret as they have. Well, that's just going to draw attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that does draw attention to it. I'm looking for a message that I got just before the show, and I don't see it, but it has to do with a huge UFO sighting yesterday over in, I believe it was in Australia. Let's see.
The Northern Territory has been pretty active, it seems like, lately.
Yeah. Yeah. So during the next break, I'll find that because I want to bring that up. But they are seeing some big UFOs over there, and they're seeing them quite often. All right, I want to ask you something now, Eric. You dig into these things, and you've talked with Major Carl Lewis.
Correct, several times.
And how was his demeanor now? For those of you folks who don't know, Major Lewis is the one who was the spokesperson for the Air Force on the Stephenville UFO sighting. He's the one that said, wasn't us, we didn't have any aircraft out there, and maybe it was just a reflection off of a couple of commercial aircraft. Then later he comes back and says, oops, sorry about that, we had 10 of them up there that I just didn't know about. And that was Major Carl Lewis. Now, how is his demeanor when you call him and talk to him? How does he treat you?
He treats me unexpectedly well, I would say. You know, I have spoken to other military people, especially the one phone call I made to Lackland Air Force Base, and he got very angry. Now, he's never been angry with me. He just sticks to whatever press release or whatever he's been told to say. And even just like with Paul Webb with the MOD, I'll tell him, okay, I know someone named Ricky Sorrells who saw a huge craft in broad daylight, a Stylant, showed signs of having technology far beyond what we could even imagine of making when it takes off in the blink of an eye and it's the size of three football fields. We've got witnesses like Steve Allen. We've got several other witnesses in the city that saw something that is unexplained, and you're telling me that you're going to put out a press release saying we had nothing in the sky, then come back and say we had 10 F-16s flying a training mission. Now, with Carswell being so close to Stephenville and Dublin, I would imagine that the folks that have been there for a few years can tell the difference between a noisy, very noisy F-16 and a silent UFO that's white and looks to be a mile wide. And it's like they just formulate these cookie-cutter statements for the public, they know that they have the authority to just keep saying the same bogus stuff. And
yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you what, Eric. I believe that the UFO sighting in Stephenville has taught them that the public isn't buying that anymore. And the press didn't buy it.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is also, I think they think, you know, even though there's a lot of people that are onto them, time makes things fade away. And I knew this would happen. I'm not saying the Stephenville case is faded away by any means, but it's I think it's lost a little bit of the gas. And I think they think if they stay stubborn and just keep saying the same things and not releasing information, what are we going to do? We cannot force them to release anything. So months and months and months go by, a few TV shows are made, and nothing really gets resolved. and that's, I think their plan is just to just keep saying the same thing.
Well, and that's one of, you know, this is an important thing that you just brought up, and we've talked about it before here on the show. If left to major media, the dumbed-down side wins, because the major media is always going to promote that party line.
Well, the news media, their thing is politics, and nowadays they like to glamorize politics and yada, 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 boost the rating. I think a major problem is that a lot of the people that produce these UFO-type shows on CNN, Fox, ABC, etc., don't really have the background and the knowledge that somebody like you or I or your listeners would have to make a show worth airing. You know what I mean? As far as content goes and asking the hard questions, maybe they need to rethink about it and
Well, here, you know, you don't have to be a genius to be a journalist.
Sure.
There are only these questions to ask.
You have no idea of what questions to ask, and you're kind of just...
Well, there's only these questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how. That's it. Those are the only questions there are to ask. You don't have to be a genius to ask them. And you just go ask the questions, and you write down the answers, and then you stand in front of a camera and report it. It's not that difficult. But if you think about the way that they do it, they become the arbiter of what is true. And they will write a story to slant things in the direction of the party line. They don't just go out and ask the questions, who, what, when, where, why, how, and then report the answers. They write a very opinionated report that really is more of an editorial than it is a report.
They feel they need to have both sides. Okay, I actually am in contact with a producer at CNN, Larry King Live, that produces the shows for them. I said, why is it that you've always got to have a skeptic on, like Bill Nye, always for UFO shows, when you have other shows where the theme of the show, the people that are on the show, is for the theme of the show? And she said, there's just too many skeptics out there that want to see a skeptic on that are going to rub these UFO people the wrong way, and they've got to have both sides of the issue, which I can understand, but if they're going to have a skeptic on, they've got to have a skeptic on that is not just mocking, you know, and saying the same old things like...
All right, we're into a break. We got to take a break. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, hang on. We'll be back with you right after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, the UFO in Stephenville showed up on radar. Really wasn't supposed to do that, but it did. It gets hairy. We'll be back right after this.
Anyone. cell phone to remind you it's the 21st century. All that's vinyls were made before 1983. Like a candy shop for a guy like me. So far away from reality, ordinary people and the town police ain't hey, John.
Welcome back. Let me remind those of you who have not done so yet, be sure you get over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. It is called the K-Files E-Zine, and you'll see the little button on the screen in red letters. It says K-Files E-Zine. Absolutely free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to.
All right. We have a caller on hold, so let's go straight to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ryan in Puget Sound.
Yes, Ryan.
Being that I'm not very educated in radar, and I haven't really taken the time to look at the report, I was wondering where did it finally blink out? Where did it end up?
Where was its last location on radar?
Yeah.
Okay. What about that?
Like I said before, that the Freedom of Information Act request radar data cut off at 8 p.m. So wherever it was at 8 p.m. is where not necessarily where it blinked out, but where the...
Okay. So the last place that report shows it is 10 miles away from the Crawford Ranch, right?
Right, 10 miles, yep.
All right.
Was that in the eastern direction? I'm sorry, I haven't read the report yet, but I was just curious. I've always been curious.
Go ahead, Harry.
Excuse me?
Yeah, was it flying in an eastward direction at that time? If it was flying from Stephenville to the Crawford Ranch, it was flying south-southeast.
Exactly. It says the object was traveling to the southeast on a direct course toward the Crawford Ranch and was last seen 10 miles away at 8 p.m.
Okay, so it's 10 miles before the Crawford Ranch.
Traveling southeast.
Yeah. Does that answer your question, Ryan?
Yeah, it does. I remember the witnesses saying that they saw it take off, and I just was always curious if there's any, you know, anything in the radar that shows if it took off in a higher elevation, or I was always curious where it had to go somewhere. You know what I mean? It had to come from somewhere, and I had to go somewhere. So I was always curious about where it came from.
You know,
and where it went to.
One of the things that's interesting to me, and maybe Eric can answer this: were there any reports from down around Crawford of people seeing this thing?
I haven't heard of any. Which is kind of odd.
Yeah. Ryan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. The telephone number, folks, is 602-539-3316. You might be interested in knowing, Eric, that I've gotten a couple of emails from people who say they try to call that number, and they get a recording that says that person is unavailable and leave a message. As you just heard, the number's working. But apparently some people are being blocked from calling it, and that's unfortunate. But for those of you who still have the ability and freedom to call, the telephone number is 602-539-3316. If you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you don't want to make that international telephone call, send me a flash message. Just send an email with your message in it, flash@kevinsmithshow.com. And it will get to me, all right? flash@kevinsmithshow.com. All right, now, don't you find it a little bit odd that no one down around Crawford reported seeing this thing?
Yes. Yeah, you'd think that if it was over Stephenville and then headed southeast, it's got to traverse, I would say, approximately between 60 and 100 miles to get to the Crawford Ranch.
It's about 60 miles.
Okay, from Stephenville.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that. I've tried to look for that, and I do believe though that there have been sightings in the area, because on the UFO Hunter show they mentioned how sightings started around the Stephenville Dublin area and moved their way southeast. Now, I don't think they got as much publicity as the original Stephenville sightings, but as you know, there's been some sightings in Corpus Christi. I mean, all the way down to the coast in a southeastern direction. Almost like, a flock of birds moving southeast.
All right. Now, Dublin is a little bit to the south of Stephenville.
It's approximately eight miles southwest of Stephenville.
All right. Now, people in Dublin saw it. People in Stephenville saw it. I have to believe that there are people all along that track that saw it, but apparently no one south of Dublin reported it.
Yeah, there's also another town called Selden. I don't know in relation to Dublin to Stephenville where that is. I think it's a little south. I'm not sure. That's a good question. Considering it traveled in that direction. Maybe the periods of time where it was flying very fast, it wasn't seen by many people, and the times that it was flying rather slow, it was near the Crawford Ranch, and nobody, I don't think, lives very close to the ranch, but I don't have an answer to that question.
All right, based on this report, you've read the report, you've delved into it, you've analyzed the analysis. If you were not really familiar with this Stephenville sighting, based on that report, would you be convinced that there had been a genuine UFO sighting at Stephenville?
I would definitely say hard proof that there was more than those 10 F-16s in the air, that's for sure. And the characteristics that they show as far as speed and not having transponders would lend me to say that there's more to this than they're saying. Now, whether those are military craft that are secret or bona fide extraterrestrial craft, we don't know. None of them crashed. None of them landed and aliens walked out, but It's worth investigating,
All right, you're an investigator. What would you, after you've read this report, you've talked to witnesses down there personally, you've talked with Major Carl Lewis. Who else have you talked to about this?
I've talked to Dick Criswell. He was your guest last night, and he said he has a contact, I believe it was at Boeing, that had some information on it. I talked to Boyd Bushman, who was a former Lockheed Martin research scientist, and he's still a consultant. He's in Texas.
What does he have to say about it?
He has to say that it's a bona fide UFO sighting, that we don't have anything that can perform like what was seen and what was tracked over the area.
Dick Criswell is under the same conclusion, comes to the same conclusion.
All right, so take all of that into consideration. Take into consideration what you've read in the report. Take into consideration what we've talked about already here tonight, and the questions that I asked about, what about people down around Crawford? Didn't anybody down there see it? And now you're an investigator of these sorts of things. Where do you go from here? What's your next move?
Well, I guess I have to consider on whether I want to bother Carl Lewis any longer and risk really taking someone off, or gosh, I don't know. I'm actually in contact with a guy named Mark Murphy, who's a councilman for Stephenville, and he was featured briefly on the UFO Hunter show. I don't know if you saw it. He was the guy sitting there that said, well, if the truth was let out, there'd be chaos and panic all over the place. They just showed him briefly. He's a councilman. And he believes that there was something to this. But he said that he's called and emailed Carl Lewis, and he gets no response. He's tried, to contact some other people in the government, city government, and nobody seems to care. It's like it was a big media deal. And they just either want it to go away or don't think that it's that important. And the media's got so many other things they want to cover that they just get lost, you know. And it's unfortunate because nobody wants to speak. They still got this policy where it's like you can't figure out which one it is. And what I mean by that is they say UFOs are of no interest and no threat to national security, yet they don't release any information. And you know that they've got to have this information because something flying in our skies, especially above restricted airspace, that can perform maneuvers that are unheard of, they've got to have information on that. And so it's like you can't play it both ways, and that's what they do. At the same time that they have this information, they make it seem like they don't and that it's of no interest to them. And that's their game. Plain and simple.
Well, I find it a little bit confusing when, they'll come out and say that the United States Air Force is not investigating UFOs any longer. Okay, so that's what they say. And then they'll say, almost in the same breath, that these things, whatever they may be, are of no national security significance. They pose no threat to national security.
And I wonder what has made them come to that conclusion.
Well, that's it. You see, in order to have come to a conclusion like that, there has to have been an analysis of data.
Sure. And where might that be? And where might that be? Project Blue Book? Huh. Okay.
Well, I like Project Blue Book. I'll tell you why. Because Project Blue Book, and a lot of people have never stopped to consider this, but Project Blue Book is an official government statement that UFOs are real. Most people say, they look at that and they say, well, yeah, they explained away 95% of them. Yeah. But actually, I think it comes to about 7% that were true unknowns they could not explain, and it's the ones on which they had the most data and the best data, and they could not explain those away. Now, when you admit that you cannot explain them away, you have admitted they are unidentified. They were in the air, that makes them flying, and they reflected light and caused photographs, that makes them objects, unidentified flying objects.
I guess what they might be saying is that 7% is not large enough in their eyes to justify spending money on investigating them, which could be.
Well, that may be as far as spending money on investigating them, but as far as do they exist, you have an official statement of the United States federal government, the United States Air Force, in Project Blue Book. That is an official statement that some of those things are real. And a lot of people have never looked at it that way. They look at it the other way. They look at the 95%. Okay? Well, 95% of what gets, I'm just pulling that figure out of the air, but 95% of what gets reported in the news is junk too. But, you know, there are little kernels of truth in there. And, you know, I don't, it's certainly not 95%, but a large amount of counterfeit money is out there. But the real stuff is out there, too. And every transaction at a store where money changes hands is an affirmation of the reality of the money. And here you have an affirmation of the reality of these UFOs in Project Blue Book. But people don't focus on that. They focus on whether it was 95% that they could explain away. Well, okay. And Stanton Friedman points out that you really, you don't even need 1%. All you need is one event. And if you can't explain it, you have a UFO. All right, folks, we are going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at KevinSmithShow.com.
And welcome back. We're talking with Eric Taber. And Eric is a consummate UFO investigator. He digs into the details. One of the things I like about the way you operate, Eric, is, you know, a name comes up, like Major Carl Lewis. And that name comes up because he steps out and he's the spokesman for the Air Force on this thing. And so you go straight to the horse's mouth and, you know, you go right to the guy and say, hey, tell me about this, tell me about this. That's one of the things I like about the way you do this. You, as opposed to the way I see a lot of people do it, and that is they write about or report on what third and fourth parties have said that someone said. And so I think that's an important thing. All right. If you were going to pursue this, now I did ask you this, but I want to press you on this a little bit. If you're going to pursue this further, I ask you, what would be your next step? You know, who would you talk to next? But now I want to ask you, what's the biggest question that you would want to have answered?
Oh gosh, that's tough. Because there's not just one question, but there's several congressmen and several senators that I've called and asked to set up phone call conversations to speak with briefly, actually speak with the person. Their assistant took down my number and said that they would give me a call and let me know when they could set this up. I've yet to hear from one person, and they always ask you what the issue is you want to talk with the person about, and I tell them.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Let's don't keep it a secret. Who did you ask to talk to?
You know, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I believe it was a couple of people on the U.S. Representatives Armed Services Committee. I figured that, you know, some of them, like the chairperson and the people that are high ranking in that would. You know, if I gave them enough information, would possibly want to set up a hearing. You know, I'm not trying to contact the Department of Agriculture on this, you know.
Uh-huh.
I pick and choose the people that I think.
So you actually called their offices?
Sure, yeah. You know, you get an assistant that answers and asks you what the issue is you want to discuss with them, and you tell them UFOs. And they say, okay, let me get your phone number and your name. And I hardly ever hear back from anyone. And that's just the way that our government works. You can't. It's so hard to actually talk to someone that represents you.
Yeah.
So we do other things.
There is ingrained deep within the very strange breed with special DNA that lives and inhabits and infests Washington, D.C. The idea that if you, quote, believe in UFOs, then you also believe in little green men. And these folks are absolutely stupid ninnies. They have the gall to try and ridicule the rest of the nation when it's us that pays their bills. And they have the gall to ridicule something that is one of the most well-established facts of life in the past century and this one.
Sure, such a broad history. And their mindset, unfortunately, is they don't want to be associated with it, thinking that if they're the first one to demand a hearing that they're going to be singled out.
Yeah, well, Gerald Ford did that. And Gerald Ford wound up as president, and Gerald Ford wound up as a highly respected member of the legislature as well as a highly respected president. So, you know, if they need a precedent, how about a president that, as a member of Congress, I can't remember if at that time he was in the House of Representatives or if he was a senator, but he demanded and got it was Congress. He demanded and got congressional hearings on UFOs.
Right, 68, was it?
I think so.
I think so. Now, Gerald Ford is not someone to scoff at. And so, you know, if any of these guys and gals that have been hired, and that's what they are, they're employees, hired by the American people to go to Washington and represent them, if any of them have a desire to get a backbone and actually represent the interests of the people in their areas, this is one of the topics that is of extreme high interest to the people in their areas.
And if they think there's only one or two, you know, so-called crackpots that are actually calling them interested in this, they've got to understand that, that people, the amount of people that are interested in the subject and feel like there should be further investigation is a very large portion of our society in this country. I would venture to say, you know, upwards of over a million people, you know, several million. That's a large
segment. Well, the polls show it's about 80%.
Right. So it, they're stepping on a large percentage of people that want something done. You know?
Well, and I think that if they were to have hearings, I think we would probably not get to the bottom of anything. On the other hand, I think they ought to have them, and I think it's important for them to have them. Let's go to the phone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Jeff from Sonoy, Eric.
I'm sorry, Jeff, from where?
From Sonoy, Sonoya.
Where is that?
Sonoya, Georgia. It's right just south of Peachtree City.
Oh, okay. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am, sir.
All right. Some applause for you, sir. Go ahead with your question or comment because we're going to run out of time.
I know. Hey, Eric. Hey, do you guys remember the Levelland, Texas incident in 1957?
No.
This is touching on what Eric said a little earlier about, you know, time has a way of making things go away, cases go away.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's patrolman A.J. Fowler. He's taking on 15 calls. It's 11 p.m. This is a half an hour after they launched Sputnik 2 with the dog. Remember the one with the dog aboard in it?
All right.
And now you've got these UFOs landing all over Levelland, Texas, which is right near Lubbock, near the New Mexico border. 200-foot-long object lands on the road. Engine cuts out. Electrical system went dead. Truck was allowed to roll to a stop. Pedro and his friend recalled the unknown object being 200 feet long in the small town of Whiteface, and he called it in, what he had seen to Fowler, who was thinking he was just talking to a drunk, and he dismissed it. 11:45, Fowler gets a second call near the town of Witherall, located 4 miles east of Levelland. A man encounters an egg-shaped object. This time, the object was sitting in the middle of the road. The object was brightly lit. The man left his vehicle watching the object from a safe distance. Shortly, the UFO was raised off the ground to an altitude of 200 feet and disappeared. His vehicle also stalled but restarted after the UFO was gone. 12 a.m., third call comes in. Man traveling about 11 miles north of Levelland sees the UFO sitting on the road. His vehicle is disabled. He sits for a time watching the unknown craft. Before long, the silent object lifts up, disappears into the night. The man's car immediately fires up again. He drives to the nearest telephone and calls in his report. And then 12:10 a.m., Texas Tech freshman Newell Wright, driving 9 miles east of Levelland, when his engine failed. The 19-year-old got out of his car, popped open the hood, and tried to see if he had an electrical problem. He saw an unknown object landed on the pavement on a small piece of the road, and he estimated the object's length at 125 feet, and it was bluish-green in color. It soon rose up and disappeared. Now, this is the one. See, I'm an experiencer of lifelong contact, and here's one that involves an orange globular object, like one of the ones I saw, landing in the road.
I hate to cut you off, but we're out of time, and it's going to cut our mics. The music has started.
Okay.
Man, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Be sure you call in again. All right, Eric, we're out of time, man. Stay on the line with me, and I'll join you on the telephone in just a moment. All right, folks, there you have it. Solid radar evidence that it happened. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.